Have you ever had to set a boundary with someone, like Brian talked about in his reflection? Some years ago, I had to set a boundary with a family member. I love this person, but their behavior was consistently harmful, and I realized I couldn't change them, so I needed to keep myself safe, emotionally at least, by setting a boundary that would mean we don't have much contact. So we don't talk much anymore. We don't interact, except occasionally when we're in the same place. I still really love this family member, and this lack of connection makes me sad. But I would venture to say that my relationship with them is healthier because of the boundary we now keep. But let me tell you, it was hard to set that boundary. Years of harmful interactions had kept the cycle of our relationship the same, and I was suddenly demanding a totally different kind of relationship. One that was going to demand them to act differently because I wasn't going to engage on my end anymore. There's a whole school of thought in psychology and coaching called family systems theory, and it insists that humans exist in systems. Family systems can apply to any organization or group, not just biological or other kinds of families. These systems work in certain ways, and then they kind of trap each person into their role, like a gear in a machine. And so providing counseling or treatment or support for only one gear wouldn't work. Likewise, when one person in the system starts acting differently, the system reacts, and usually badly. The machine wants to continue the way it was designed, and if a gear changes shape or outright leaves the machine freaks out and malfunctions. Usually this happens in systems, families or otherwise, when someone sets a clear boundary. It happened in my family too. My family member, who normally doesn't want to interact much, suddenly really wanted to interact for a while. Because I had changed my role in the system. I had stopped being the first person to interact, the person always trying to make it work. This was years ago, and so our system has settled back into an equilibrium. Our machine is working smoothly again, and this time in healthier ways as I've kept my boundary. In our faith, in Unitarian Universalism, we often say we are a non-creedal faith, one that isn't concerned with creeds or beliefs so much as we are concerned with actions and relationships. We say we are a covenantal faith. That word covenantal means that we strive to keep covenant between us. That's another way of saying that, is that we strive to hold that our relationships with each other and our relationships with that which is sacred, those relationships are the center of our faith. One truth about covenant is that, like any promise, it will inevitably be broken. We are human, after all. We are flawed. We mess up. We hurt each other. We say the wrong thing. Our biases get in the way. But covenant, like any promise, asks us to keep coming back to the table, to try again, to mend and remake the covenant so that our relationship can heal and move forward. In the case of my family member, my boundary is not made of steel. I'm willing to bring down the boundary if certain actions show me that it's safe to do so. I've asked them to seek counseling and to apologize. When they're ready to do that, I will try to re-engage. Likewise, in our faith tradition, when we mess up, sometimes the language that we use is that we are invited to come back to covenant, to re-engage with the agreements that we have made with each other and with that which is greater than ourselves. But because of our freedom of belief, people often come into Unitarian Universalism and misunderstand that freedom to be a complete lack of boundaries. It's true that we are pretty wide open when it comes to beliefs, especially beliefs about God, Jesus, other holy people, the afterlife, and some other theological concepts. But because our emphasis is on actions that heal ourselves and the world, and our emphasis is on healthy, loving, deep relationships, we are not wide open when it comes to how we can behave. There are things that are outside of our covenant, that are beyond the boundaries of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. We have expectations that, as our reading said earlier, quote, to be UU is to spend a lifetime seeking reality and truth, and to live in this world in an ethical and principled way. There is nothing casual or easy about that. So I want to share with you something hard that has been going on in the larger Unitarian Universalist movement lately at the level of our UUA, our Unitarian Universalist Association. Normally, I don't spend a lot of time talking about the events and politics of our UUA, but sometimes I think you ought to know that we're either doing a really amazing job of collectively living our faith, or when we're not. And right now, some people in our UUA are struggling to live in right relationship. A few years ago, and you might recall this, we did talk about this from the pulpit, there was a big controversy around hiring a staff person when the decision was made to hire a white male minister instead of a Latina woman religious education candidate. Even though the Latina woman was most likely the better fit for the job and actually lived in the region that they would be serving as a staff person, this hiring decision brought to light many biased things that had been going on for a long time. And it led to some serious drama in our UUA, the resignation of our then president, other senior staff, and then the growth of our multicultural ministry initiatives like the Black Lives of UU. Congregations around the country began again examining the ways unconscious racism rears its head in often unintentional, but still really harmful ways. And we here at the Fellowship participated in the national efforts around the white supremacy teach-ins. And we are continuing that work today as we explore the symptoms and antidotes of white supremacy culture in various groups throughout this year. So all of this was hard, but it seemed like we were beginning to move forward. We were working as a faith tradition to repair our relationships, to live back into our covenant, not just with each other, but with our deepest values that call us to create a world that's more fair and just, healthy and peaceful. And then last summer, at our national gathering, the General Assembly, one of our ministers self-published and distributed a book that was truly vile. He, a white cisgender man, claimed that the UUA had gone too far in our identity politics of challenging racism, white supremacy culture, patriarchy, homophobia, transphobia. It's funny to me, and by funny, I mean mind-bogglingly frustrating, when a white man wants to remove the conversation about the ways that other identities are being harmed, as if he himself doesn't have an identity that he wants lifted up in our faith communities. Make no mistake, everything we do is steeped in identity. But whose identity are we honoring? Are we truly honoring our call to bring about a more just world if we ignore the harm and pain that we cause to those people whose identities have historically and currently repeatedly marginalized? So this guy wrote this vile book, and then the book appeared at GA, and his congregation members were actually handing it out to people, and several people of color took the book, flipped through it, wondering what it was, and then raised an alarm, realizing that it contained harmful rhetoric under the guise of intellectualism. Several of these people photographed the book page by page and posted it to a private clergy social media. We all got to take a look. I wasn't at GA, but I got to read it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I read about 10 pages, and I was grossed out. It's not only just really bad writing and bad logic, funny considering it's under the guise of intellectualism, it's terrible logic, it's really bad theology. It argued that our UU commitment to anti-racism has somehow become an orthodoxy, that if you don't believe the right way, that you're somehow not a good UU. After that, Reverend Leah and I chose to sign on to a public letter that was written. We didn't write it. Lots of other people signed on to it, but we chose to sign on as well. It was written by white UU ministers who wanted to be explicitly clear that we thought the book and the author, one of our colleagues, was out of covenant. That we did not condone what had been written, and that we affirm our commitment to our colleagues and fellow UUs who are people of color, GLBTQ, disabled, and otherwise marginalized by rhetoric like the kind that we read in this book. And then we talked about it, and we really didn't want to bring it here. We didn't want to bring it up. I'm still anxious about bringing it up today because, frankly, it's gross. It happened far away. It was a while ago. And I really, really didn't want to be like the parent who says to my teenager, "Don't watch pornography, it's bad for you." Did I just entice you to go try to find this book? I hope not. And I hope I've helped you understand that it's not healthy. And I'm not going to help you find it. After the letter from the white ministers, including Reverend Leah and me, came out, the UU Ministers Association tried to reach out to the author for conversation and to come back to covenant, but he refused. So they issued their own letter to the entire membership of our professional organization. This was weeks or months later, censuring him for his refusal to engage in our covenant as UU ministers. His actions, they said, were out of bounds. But I want to go back to his claim that anti-racism is somehow an orthodoxy in Unitarian Universalism. I said earlier that we are non-creedal. We're not concerned with what you believe so much as how you act. The word orthodoxy is Greek. It translates literally to right belief. The author of this book was claiming that somehow we have, as UUs, created a belief system that you must adhere to. And it includes, he thinks, believing in some philosophy pertaining to anti-racism. I disagree with him, as do many of my colleagues. We're open to beliefs, even wildly different ones. I might deeply disagree with you and your beliefs. I deeply disagree with those protesters out there. But it's not my job as a UU minister to monitor and control your beliefs. But through our covenants, including our seven principles, which are written as a covenant, we have agreements with each other about how we're going to be in right relationship. And what I said to those protesters outside was that even though I disagreed with them, it was their actions that I had a problem with. It was the way they were harming the people I love in this community through their words, their shouting, and their signs. And I reminded them that the Jesus that I follow said not to cast stones. And I reminded them that their actions, their words, and those signs were stones. You can say we have free speech in our country, but it doesn't absolve you of consequences, that those stones can still hurt people. So we have covenants about how we're going to act, that we don't get to just hurt people. The Greek word for relationship is skesi. So rather than orthodox, I would like to completely make up a Greek word, if you'll let me, and say instead that we Unitarian Universalists are orthoskesic. We adhere not so much to right beliefs, orthodoxy, we adhere instead and place our highest value on right relationships, orthoskesi. That in order to be in deep relationship with people, with all people, we need to continue the work of examining the ways that we've been conditioned by our world to separate ourselves and harm each other. Not because it's politically correct, not because it's fashionable, and least of all because it is orthodox, but because we have committed ourselves to an orthoskesic faith. One that says we strive to be in right relationship, in healthy relationship with people who are like us and people who are different from us. that we can sit next to someone in worship who has a totally different life experience from you, who has different beliefs about God or the afterlife, who has a different gender or culture or race or abilities. And I assure you that you're sitting next to someone who's very different from you right now. And that we honor that that diversity makes us stronger. And that part of the reason that we aren't more diverse in some ways, particularly racially, is because we haven't yet demonstrated a concerted effort to change our behavior, to examine our biases, our institutional practices, and our actions. And until we're willing to do that, then we're not going to change our demographics. And until we're willing to do that, we're not going to grow spiritually in the ways that I think we really want to. We want to be more open-hearted. We want to explore the ways that we might unintentionally harm. We want to do better. And if we want that, then we need to act like it. We need to be okay setting behavioral boundaries, like the one that the UU Ministers Association set with this colleague. No, you can't say or write whatever you want. What you wrote was harmful to people that we care about. When the white ministers like Reverend Leah and I pushed back against this minister and his book, and when the UU Ministers Association censured him, you better believe that the system reacted. There has been quite a kerfuffle among the UU ministers in the last few months. There are those who want to keep the status quo, the system that expects each of us gears to do what we've always done, which is let the others have their way. And then there are those who didn't do that. And then the system pushed back, but we've been insistent about holding that boundary. And then we'll just allow the system to readjust, hopefully in the direction of healthy relationships. Because the covenant that we keep is not only with each other. That's too narrow. If that were the only promise we kept, then we would have no way to tell when we were out of covenant. Who are we if we only attract people like ourselves? No, we also keep covenant with our highest values, with the holy that some people call God. Our reading that we heard earlier said, quote, "Being a UU does not give you freedom to believe anything you want. It gives you freedom to search for and find those beliefs from which your heart and soul cannot escape." And I promise that our highest values are not about comfort or intellectualism or unfettered freedom. Our highest values are about love and connection and relationship. May we be worthy of this covenant and come back to it again and again and again. May it be so. Amen.